Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, and we are presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. Fun first hour. We have a fun second hour on tap for you guys as well. 15 minutes from now, Carl Jick-Jack Johnson, sportsbook director at the Beau Rivage, will join us. Jick-Jack has some season win total bets that he likes. He also has a Super Bowl futures bet as well. We'll get into all of that with Jick-Jack coming up in 15 minutes. And 30 minutes from now, we have Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. We'll give you a preview of what to expect. We're going to talk some Justin Fields coming up in 30 minutes here. That is a lightning rod here for us on the GM Shuffle podcast and on the Lombardi Line. But let's talk the Bears right now before we even get to Patrick Finley, because we want to break down some of these games that are coming up a little bit later on today. Six of them. We have a nice six-pack of preseason games throughout the day, starting in the Windy City. Bears, 3.5-point favorites against the Tennessee Titans. Total is at 37.5. And I want to kind of set the table for folks in terms of the quarterback depth chart, then we'll get into the further analysis as well. For Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill's a starter. I'm not sure if we're going to see Ryan Tannehill. It doesn't sound like we will. Malik Willis, number two, and Will Levis is at number three. For the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields will play in this game. Then we'll have P.J. Walker, Nathan Peterman, and then Tyson Bagent, I believe is how you pronounce his name, went to Shepherd over there outside of D.C. So the quarterback depth chart is on the table. The side, the total is on the table. Michael, what do you think here of this game? What are you excited to see, Titans-Bears?
Well, both teams' offensive line last year was a disaster. I mean, let's face it, Fields has been sacked 91 times over 2 years. Some of it's his fault, but that offensive line hasn't played well, and you've got to be concerned about that. So this is two offensive lines that you're going to get an opportunity to see, because Tennessee went through a bunch of changes with their offensive line. You know, they drafted Skronsky. Are they going to play him at left guard? Are they playing him at right tackle? They signed Chris Hubbard. So I get the sense that Vrabel will play some of these linemen. We'll see how that's going to work out. And where are their skill players? You know, we know they have Treylon Burks. They drafted in the first round. They've signed, you know, Hopkins to give them. But what other receivers are going to kind of help these young quarterbacks? Part of the problem when you watch these preseason tapes are the receivers don't get open. You know, the quarterback's waiting for somebody to get open, and they're not. You know, and if you go against a team that plays a lot of zone, like Chicago does, you should be able to have a lot of completed passes. So it'll be interesting to see how Levis does. Mm-hmm. And Willis, I think this is make or break time for Willis. I think Willis was so far behind last year, there's no way you could keep him as a third-string quarterback if he doesn't show enough development. Yeah, well, if he doesn't show enough development, you know, what are we – because he's really just a running back. And Chicago, again, they've got to get improved in a lot of different areas, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, their offensive line's got to show – and they put money into it. So we'll see if it's going to manifest itself on the field.
Yeah, I really want to see Chicago's defense this year, because I think if the Bears are going to do anything, like, that defense is going to have to pick up the slack of what they were doing last year. I mean, they were one of the worst defenses in the NFL. And can they take that next step? Matt Eberflus is a defensive head coach. He's coordinated some good defenses. I would expect them to be a little bit better. They invested at linebacker as well. Didn't invest as much on the defensive line as I would have liked. They did sign Yannick Ngakoue about a week ago, but I don't think that's really going to move the needle. But what do the Bears look like defensively? I think will be interesting to see.
They you're right. They put a ton of money. They signed Tremaine Edwards from Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They signed Edmonds, and then they signed T.J. Edwards from Philadelphia. So, and they signed them to significant contracts. They're a cover three, eight in the box team. And this front, they rely on the front, right? So when he was in Indianapolis, he had a good front. Mm-hmm. You know, he had Buckner inside. So now he's playing with different kind of guys. They invested a second and a third round pick, Dexter and Pickens. Pickens being the third round pick, but they've got Billings and Justin Jones, who they signed in free agency. I think that's going to be the test. I don't expect their starters to start, especially DeMarcus Walker, who they signed from Tennessee. But we're going to see if this backup. The one thing about the Bears is the scheme is simplistic, right? They're not a complex scheme. They rely on speed and athleticism to make up for it. They play zone, they read the shoulder of the quarterback, and they're going to break on the ball. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do when they play some of these backups.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for this game. Once again, 10 o'clock kickoff West Coast time, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll probably have a bet on this game as well. I'm still deciding right now to if I want to finalize it.
Where are you leaning?
I like Tennessee getting 3.5. I do like Tennessee because I I don't want to be sitting there in the second half of a preseason game laying 3.5 points and having Nathan Peterman be my quarterback, or Tyson Bagent, with all due respect to Tyson Bagent. I think that we're going to see Levis and Willis kind of be battling it out for this QB2 spot, and those are guys that I trust a little bit more than – and I get Nathan Peterman, he started games, but, I mean, even for the preseason, I wouldn't be comfortable with Nathan Peterman because he has a propensity to turn the ball over. So it'll be
– So does P.J. Walker, though. P.J. Walker when he gets in there. I mean, you won't see Foreman, the running back, either. Mm-hmm. He's beat up when the season starts. So it'll be interesting to see how they rotate their running back. They need to run the football better.
100%. 100%. The next game that we have also at that same time slot. So we'll have two games on at once, Michael. I don't want to put too much on your plate here, but there are going to be two games going on at the same time
now. I'm not like you. I just don't have that skill. I don't have that ability. I can't do that. You know, I'll watch one, and then I'll go back and watch the other one. But you guys can do it. I mean, it's amazing. And I'm sure you'll have two baseball games on, too. Will you have World Cup? I mean, European soccer on too, or Turkish soccer? What soccer will you have on?
EPL came back this weekend, so we have kicked off.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love it.
The Colts are taking on the Buffalo Bills over in Western New York. Indianapolis, 3.5 point road favorites. No Josh Allen for Buffalo in this game. The total is at 38. But Indianapolis will be starting Anthony Richardson, the 4th overall pick in the draft. Our producer, Elliot Bowman, is very excited. Anthony Richardson's already
first
out there
on the field.
First guy on the field.
First guy on the field. That makes a difference, yes.
He's getting his reps in, man. It's the lineage of Colts quarterbacks. There's Peyton Manning. There's Andrew Luck. And now we have Anthony Richardson, first guy on the field. But we'll see Richardson. We'll see Gardner Minshew. We'll see Sam Ehlinger, who we saw last year in the regular season. And that's why they drafted 4th overall, among other things as well. But the Colts have that depth chart for the Buffalo Bills. It looks like it'll be Kyle Allen and Matt Barkley. They're battling it out there for that QB2 spot here. But I think this Richardson is going to be the big headliner here in this game because everybody wants to see him. But is there anything else that you want to see between the Colts and the Bills?
Well, you won't see much of Buffalo's starting defensive players. I wonder if we're going to see DeMar Hamlin play in the game.
They said he will play. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, he will play.
That's good. You know, and I think we need to look at this defensive line for Buffalo. Have they improved? Where are they? I think that's going to be really important. So it'll be interesting how that goes and how Sean McDermott coordinates this defense and what he does as he's calling this game. Look, you know, they're going to get backup offensive linemen. The Eberflus defense in Chicago is the same defense in Indianapolis, only Gus Bradley calls it, as opposed to Eberflus. So it's the same. It's a similar in terms of philosophy and scheme. So, you know, we'll see that. Buffalo will probably play a lot of zone, which will help Anthony Richardson, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of the six-back offense. That's the one thing that I've liked about the preseason games that I've seen is I've been able to at least – you can classify the offenses that you're watching, right? So you watch Arizona, you know, Arizona was under center. They're going to run Stefanski's offense. Drew Petzek, that's where he was. You know, it's going to be a little bit of the outside zone, inside zone. You get that. Washington, Bieniemy, Kansas City, it's the Mahomes offense. It isn't the West Coast variation of the Mahomes. It's more of the Mahomes offense. Now, they don't have Mahomes at quarterback, but that's what they're going to run. That's what they feel comfortable running. So, you know, I think that's what you'd like to get. Buffalo, to me, what I want to see tonight or this afternoon is what does Buffalo do when Kyle Allen's in quarterback? Are they going to be a 12 team? Are they going to utilize two tight ends on the field? Are they just going to always be an 11? Because right now they don't have a slot. You remember when they were good, Rodgers played really well down the stretch 2 years ago and 3 years ago. You know, it was Cole Beasley played really well. Now, Trent Sherfield, can he play in there? I don't know. We're not probably going to see much of him.
Yeah, I know it's something you've always talked about is like execution and physicality. Like, I think that's for Buffalo, you want to see physicality, I think, today. Like, because that's been the knock on this Bills team over the last couple of years, even though they've won a bunch of regular season games, is that, hey, are they physical enough in the trenches? Maybe we'll see just a little bit of a glimpse of that later on this afternoon. 1 o'clock West Coast time, 4 o'clock Eastern, the debut of the number one overall pick, Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers hosting the New York Jets. Panthers right now 3.5 point favorites. The total sits at 37. No Aaron Rodgers in this game for the Jets, but we will see Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle at quarterback for the Jets. And for the Panthers, of course, Bryce Young, then Andy Dalton, Matt Corral, who they drafted last year in the third round, and then Jake Luton, who has a couple regular season games under his belt as well here. But Panthers probably the rightful favorites in this one with the better quarterback depth chart, in my opinion, at least, total with 37. What are you looking forward to in this one?
Well, I think the Panthers have a different mindset, too. I mean, you just heard what Frank Wright said. He said, look, we're different than a lot of teams. We got to play our guys. And I think he's going to play his guys. I think he's going to do a little bit what Sean Payton did in Denver. He's going to play them. And he's going to want Bryce Young to get some reps. He's going to want him to see the game, kind of how he reacts to it. Again, we're going to get the Pete Carroll cover three out of the Jets. The Jets' backup defensive line will give the Carolina Panthers offensive line some good work. I think the bigger issue really is can the Jets' offensive line, which we know in practice struggled to block Carolina, can they handle it? Mm-hmm. And when Carolina plays their backups even, because they struggled to block the Cleveland backups last week in the Hall of Fame game. So, to me, that's really what it's going to be about. This Jet offensive line, if you're playing the Jets in opening week against Buffalo, if you're playing the Jets to go over their win total, you got to be really confident that this offensive line is going to get into shape. I'm looking forward to seeing it, because after week one and what we heard about down in Carolina, it hasn't been in shape.
Yeah, no, I think the Jets offensive line is under the microscope out there in the Meadowlands. But before we head to break here, Michael, we do have news out of Chicago. This was from Stacey Dales at the NFL Network. She said, I'm told the Titans plan on starting Malik Willis today against the Bears. Ryan Tannehill will not play. Will Levis will be the backup. Both quarterbacks will play the entire game, alternating every few series throughout. The competition for QB2 is real in Tennessee. So it sounds like they'll do a little bit of few series here, few series there, and then we'll see these guys all throughout there. But Malik Willis getting the start right now. Titans 3.5-point dogs, total at 37.5. We'll see if the market has any sort of reaction to that coming up a little bit later on in the show. But joining us next, Carl Jick-Jack Johnson, sportsbook director at the Beau Rivage here on the Lombardi.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We are presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, hanging out on this Saturday morning. 15 minutes from now, Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, will be joining us as we'll continue to preview Bears-Titans. Once again, Malik Willis will be getting the start for the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill will not play, but Willis and Levis will alternate every few series, according to Stacey Dales over at NFL Network. But joining us right now, it's our buddy Carl Jick-Jack Johnson, sportsbook director at the Beau Rivage. Jick-Jack, before we get into the preseason, before we get into your win totals and your futures bets, I have to ask you, how many games can you watch at the same time?
Femi, I'll be honest with you. I don't watch any of them. I mean, I'm looking at, on game days, I'm looking at live boards. I'm watching the Lions move. I'm watching the red zone, stuff like that. But, I mean, I'll watch, like the Monday night game or the Thursday night game, but I don't watch any of them, and I don't use any sound. And look, so I heard you guys talking earlier, so I'm going to give you a tip of the day. So if you're watching these games for in-game wagering, keep this in mind. Most people don't realize this. What you're seeing on the TV, it's about 20 seconds old, and it could be It could have a bigger cushion than that. And that's one of the reasons why I say I'm watching live boards. I'm watching the scores just as they come through. So, you're giving us a 20, 30-second advantage on you if you're basing your in-game wagering on what you're watching on TV. Think about that.
I agree, Carl. That's certainly the case, and that's why I think you got to really do a good job of studying the game so you get a sense of it. This is a game where you think a team could come back, and it's not one particular event that causes you to go in one direction or the other as you're in-game betting. I think the one thing, for example, if you want to, I wrote about this a couple weeks ago, Denver's over total. I think there's too much at risk to assume that Denver's going to be a better team. I think Sean Payton's a better coach, but are they going to be a better team to get over 9.5? I think their win total is. I would rather wait and see what Wilson looks like. I would rather wait and see what their team looks like in game, in season, before I make that bet. So there's certain things I think you don't have enough information to do, to utilize to your best ability to make the most profitable bet.
I agree. And you know, I think we've seen more so of what we normally see with some of these teams playing their stars or their starters so early in the preseason. So I think we are seeing some of that. These teams are trying to find who they are, you know, and see what they got.
We're speaking with Carl Jake Jack Johnson, sportsbook director at the Beau Rivage. Jake Jack, is there anything that you like on tonight's, or today's, I should say, preseason slate? We have a couple games that are about to get underway in less than 2 hours, and games sprinkled out all throughout the afternoon and evening.
You know, Femi, we talked about this. I was on with Tim Murray and Sean King yesterday, you know, and I brought up the point these in preseason week one, these first moves for these Lions have been pretty good. Right now they're 5-3. So that's kind of what I look at here. You know, this Titans line went from and we opened this on August 3rd. This Titan line went from -1 to Bears -3.5. So that's a huge move. And the thought is go with the move. Either you go with the move or you don't play the game. The Colts, you know, the Colts went opened at 2.5. They went to 5.5 was the initial move here. And then, of course, anytime that happens, you're going to get these pros come back and buy back. And that game's at 3.5. But that initial move was from 2.5 to 5.5. Jets, 2.5. The initial move went to Panthers -3.5. Now, these moves are not dictated so much on handle because we limit the handle. But they are dictated on news and injuries and stuff like that. So keep that in mind. Jaguars went from 2.5. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I think the move, let's go over the move, right? So I think there's a reason for every move. And let's take Tennessee-Chicago this afternoon, right? You know, I think the fact that Tannehill's not playing, you got Malik Willis is going to start, I think that certainly shifts it back to Chicago, who at least has P.J. Walker, who has played a lot more games and has played more effectively than Malik Willis does. So I think a lot of this is related to the quarterback rotation, don't you, Carl?
I agree. And that's, like I said, that game opened August 3rd, Titans -1, and look where it moved to. It went to Bears -3.5. So somebody knew that information. You know, that's how, when you get that information, that's what you got to look for.
Yeah, we're actually seeing, well, I'm sitting right here at Circuit. Jake Jack, you talked about some of that buyback. Circuit just went back down to 3. So obviously, like, yeah. Do you have some groups that will come back and buy back that 3 in the hook, especially when the total's so low in these preseason games, it could be pretty valuable. Now, as I just spoke, they just went right back to 3.5. So things are active here with this game that's coming up in less than 2 hours, Titans and the Bears. Well, Jake Jack, let's get into some of your favorite futures plays. And I want to start at the top, the Super Bowl market, which I feel like sometimes we don't talk about enough because we get caught up in all these other different markets. But who do you like, or at least who do you think is the most valuable bet to make in this Super Bowl market?
Yeah, so I'm looking for value here. So I mean, my eyes are on San Francisco here. You know, they got a solid quarterback room. I mean, all my stuff is dictated on Brock Purdy, but they still have a solid quarterback room if he gets hurt. Coaching staff, I mean, Kyle Shanahan, this defensive unit is intact, albeit Steve Wilks took over for D'Amico Ryans. The thing I like here is that, you know, he was handed the keys to a Ferrari. He came in and he switched to their system, which I like. So I think that'll be intact. And also the value is at 9-1. You know, you're not going to be able to get 9-1 after 2 or 3 weeks into the season.
Well, I think the other thing, too, you're assuming that Nick Bosa signs, and that's a good assumption. You know he's going to sign. And, you know, I know they're going to start Trey Lance in the opening game, but I really believe Sam Darnold will be the second-string quarterback based on his ability to run what Kyle Shanahan wants him to run. It'll be interesting to see how Trey Lance operates tomorrow afternoon against the Raiders based on what he's done in practice there.
Yeah, I mean, this look, this is going to be a this is going to be a strong team all year. The solid thing about them is their offense is so explosive, and that defense is just really solid. So they're going to be really good this year.
Jack, we were talking about the AFC North in the first hour, and I kind of came to the conclusion. I was like, I kind of like all four of these teams in some regard. You have identified Pittsburgh. What do you make of their win total, which sits at 8.5?
Yeah, you know, I think Michael hit it on the head earlier. You know, I think this is a really undervalued team here. I mean, look, I'm a huge Mike Tomlin fan. He seems to do more with less than anybody. I mean, the job he did last year with that team was just incredible, in my opinion. You know, and I think he ended up finishing well down the list on Coach of the Year, which I was, you know, I would have voted for him Coach of the Year there. But the guy wins 62% of his games. If you look at his 17 games schedule that he has this year, the last time out facing those teams, he's 13-4. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 8.5, I don't think they've had a losing season since 2004. So I'm going to give them at least 9 wins, and I think it's going to be more than that. I think the value is with the over 8.5 here, and I like it.
Yeah, and I think their team is going to continue. They're young. I think they're going to get better, and I really think they got better on defense. I think Patrick Peterson played well for Minnesota last year. I think that'll help. And then, obviously, Highsmith was really good last year, and they get T.J. Watt back for the full season. I kind of agree with you, Carl. I think this is a good team that's undervalued right now. And everybody's saying 8.5 because how good the North is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Look, everything I've heard about that guy, he's just a player's coach. They love to play for him. And, you know, he just gets the most out of what he's got.
Jake Jack, we got about 40 seconds left here. The Washington Commanders last night, they beat the Browns in the preseason game. You like this team going forward in the regular season?
I do. I like Eric Bieniemy. You know, over 6.5 wins here. I think he's going to play a big role here. It would not surprise me, Femi, if he's not the head coach before this season ends. Mm. You know, we've already read the reports of what's coming out of camp. So I like over 6.5 here. Their defense is solid. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, maybe that's what Ron Rivera is concerned about. That's why he's talking the way he's talking. He is Carl Jig Jack Johnson, the sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage. Jig Jack will be well, man.
All right. You guys have a good one. Good luck.
Awesome stuff there from Jig Jack. Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in VSiN Pro. Become a subscriber and get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi, hanging out here on a Saturday. We've got 6 preseason games coming up today, one of which kicks off in less than 2 hours. Titans at the Bears. And we have boots on the ground, Michael Lombardi, because joining us right now, Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, I believe posted up at the press box, ready to go for this afternoon's game. And Patrick, just to give you a little bit of context here for the dynamic between Michael and myself, is that I am a believer in Justin Fields. Michael Lombardi, a little bit skeptical, wants to see more.
Hold on, Patrick. Well, he's not a believer. He's a diehard. He has got an MVP ticket for Justin Fields. He's convinced those last 5 games of the season were spellbounding. I mean, he's all in. Don't let him sugarcoat it. We've got pictures of him at the betting window betting Justin Fields, and you know he believes the improvement. It's going to be. It could be Super Bowl for the Bears.
But hey, Patrick, okay, settle down. Settle down. I did not say
where
that.
Where are Patrick? I'm going to take over here, Patrick. Where are you
crafting
on the
false
Justin
narratives.
Fields conversation?
I think believer is a good way to phrase this, because I think if you think he can be an MVP, or if you think he can even be an above average NFL quarterback, that's not based on anything really we've seen so far. We've seen him be maybe the most dynamic runner in the sport at any position. But he's not even a league average passer at this point. And where I am is, if they can get their pass game up to, I don't know, a B minus. Let's just go B minus. Pretty low bar. Then I think you might really have something. But until then, you look at some of their passing stats, you know, some of the underlying stuff, it is not particularly impressive. Now, the Bears have added DJ Moore. You know, you guys know, you know, all of the things they've done to make their offense a little more NFL caliber. I think that will help him. But he's got to take a step here. And I think there are a lot of people who are putting the cart before the horse. You know, some national network people were trying to make that MVP conversation last week, and I'm sitting there going, hey, man, like, can't he throw for 250 yards in consecutive weeks first? Maybe? Can we do that? And then we can start getting the MVP trophy ready?
I mean, Patrick, obviously Michael's going to go ahead and craft this narrative that I've been betting the Bears to win the Super Bowl. That is not true. We'll get that straight right now. but based on what you've seen in training camp, because you said that, hey, if they can just get to a B-minus level for the passing game, do you see those signs that they can get to that level this year from what you've seen in training camp from Fields and that
You're
passing
leading
offense?
The witness. You're leading the witness. You're leading
I'm not the leading any witness. I'm just asking the question.
Now you're leading the witness.
He has been up and down in camp.
Okay.
Oh my God, you never know it. I follow Twitter. I thought he was going to Canton. I was shocked he wasn't on the stage in Canton.
Here's one thing the Bears did both during OTAs and during training camp. They're throwing a lot more than they did at this time last season. And it sounds obvious that maybe you might want to practice throwing the football, but they really have put an increased, you know, emphasis on making sure that they can try and get this pass game up to where it is. Now, they need a block for him, and that's something that you can't really tell in training camp. And the other thing is this, you know, sitting on a backfield watching Justin Fields in a pass-only drill, that's not what makes him great. I mean, he can't really take off and run in a practice that number one, screws up your drill, and number two, doesn't teach anybody anything. So what we're going to have to figure out, and I don't know if the preseason is the greatest time to do this, but it's what we've got today. We've got to figure out kind of the intersection of what has improved in the pass game and what can he do on a Sunday when he's got people chasing him with bad intentions that we don't see when we're on the backfield in Halifax.
All right, Patrick, let's talk about another subject on the Bears, the defense. It was really bad last year, you know, and it never got better. And I know they put a lot of money in the linebacking position. They drafted Stevenson in the second round. From what you've seen, has this defense improved? My concern is Eberflus's defense relies on the front being great. I don't see a great front here.
No, there's not. And, you know, the one thing they really need more than anything else was an edge rusher. And then we get through free agency, they don't sign one. We get through the draft, they don't draft one. And then on the second night of the draft, you know, after taking two defensive tackles, one in round two and one in round three, they started on the, oh, we're going to dent the pocket from the middle kind of thing. You know, the narrative changed. Oh, we'll just rush the passer from the inside. Now, they picked up Yannick Ngakoue. I think he makes sense in a lot of situations. I don't know if he's a three-down guy. The Bears have got to figure that out. DeMarcus Walker, the former Titan, had seven sacks last year, and the Bears picked him up. I think they'd like to move him inside on passing down, which leaves open another edge rusher spot that they've got to fill. So, yes, the pass rush was the worst in the league last year. They were last in sacks. Their sack leader was a safety, which is bad for a whole lot of reasons, one of which being that Matt Eberflus doesn't like to blitz. The Bears were forced to blitz a lot just to try and get a little bit of something going. So that is going to be the big problem of their defense. You talk about the guys they added, you know, T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds. That's a lot of money to spend on off-the-ball linebackers, but they think they've really shored up that position. And I think they have one of the better secondaries or one of the most promising young secondaries in football when you look at Jalen Johnson, when you look at Jaquan Brisker. Eddie Jackson's a little older, but he's the anchor there. And then Tyreek Stevenson and Terrell Smith. Terrell Smith was a really old college senior who played at Minnesota, but the two of them are fighting it out for the starting outside corner spot opposite Jalen Johnson.
We're speaking with Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, talking Chicago Bears here on the Lombardi line. Well then, Patrick, we've talked about the offense, we've talked about Field, we've talked about the defense. In your opinion, what are realistic expectations for the Bears in 2023?
Eight wins, maybe. I mean, if you go from 3 wins to 8 wins, that's a pretty good season, isn't it? I mean, really. Part of it is they've got to figure out whether Justin's the guy. And and they need to know for sure at the end of the season because they have 2 draft picks. One of them comes via the Carolina Panthers from the trading the first overall pick. And there are a couple of really good quarterbacks in this year's draft. If Fields gets hurt or if Fields is bad, I think the Bears go looking for a quarterback. And Ryan Poles goes and finds his guy. And I think the Bears made a calculated bet that the quarterbacks that will be available this season were better than the ones who were there even at the number one overall pick last season.
So do you think they have any – here's what I would say, and Femi and I have had this debate. If Bryce Young was 6'2", they would have easily made this pick. Do you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if I know a couple of people down in Carolina who really love, you know, what they've seen in him, and then you sit there and you go, okay, what happens if he gets hit? They go, well, you don't know. So that's, you know, yes, yeah, I think that's true. I think if he was 6'2", they would have done it, but he's not, and I do think that Justin, I think they made the right decision in giving Justin another year and trying to surround him with some professional level people. Remember, they spent $90 million in dead cap space last year. Not only were they bad, but they were actively not trying bad. And you need to surround him with better players to get a real view of what he can do. I think that's what this season's going to be all about.
I guess we'll see what happens later on the season. Real quick, Patrick, before we let you go here, what's the plan for the quarterbacks today here? Like, I'm assuming Fields is going to play a couple series, and then we'll see P.J. Walker. Like, how are they going to kind of divvy up these reps?
Yeah, Fields, P.J. Walker, you know, Nathan Peterman's the third stringer. He didn't practice on Thursday, so I don't know what's going on in terms of snap count for him. And then they have a kid named Tyson Bagent, who was a Division II quarterback at Shepherd's University. Nobody in the history of the NCAA has thrown more touchdown passes than Tyson Bagent. He'll probably hand the ball off and walk off the field. I don't see any point in exposing him to him today.
Patrick, real quick, Darnell Wright, right tackle or left tackle today?
Right tackle.
Got it.
Right tackle today and every day.
All right.
Got it.
Top 10 pick, Darnell Wright, there out of Tennessee. All right, that is Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Patrick, will have to do this again. As you can see, Justin Fields, a lightning rod here on this show, and I'm sure we'll have many discussions down the line about it.
Anytime, guys. Thank you so much.
All right. That is Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Yeah, you're trying to say I'm betting the Bears to win the Super Bowl, Michael?
No, you're leading the witness. I object. You lead the witness, you know? And you know,
you're crafting false narratives.
You never would know based on Twitter that Justin has been inconsistent. You never know it, but I'm sure today will be great. I promise you.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be watching that one. Of the two games, you say you watch only one game. Is this the one that you're watching, Titans-Bears?
You know, I probably will watch the yesterday games on tape, and then I'll watch them on tape. I mean, if I watch tape, I can't watch a game. I can't I'm not that talented as you guys are. I can't do that.
You want me to text you
I'd
updates?
I'd rather watch the tape of the game.
I can text you updates of Justin Fields in the series
if you'd like. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to take off and run with it. It'll be sensational.
We'll get to the other games from today. On the other side is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You should. You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line. We're presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Thank you to the three guests that we had on the program. All three of them, they brought it today. It was a fun show this morning. Brian Broaddus joined us earlier in the first hour. Former NFL scout, now host at 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas. We talked America's team, the Cowboys. And then thank you to Carl Jack Johnson, sportsbook director at the Beau Rivage. And thank you to Patrick Finley, Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. So we thank all of them for helping us have a good show today. And before we continue further, Michael, let's give out our pro tip for the day. This one comes courtesy of our buddy Carl Jack Johnson, and it's about the betting lines and the movement that we see in the market with some of these preseason games, because this isn't a high handle sort of market here, these right. preseason sides and totals, to where sometimes that first move, it's either injury or information-based bets that are kind of moving these things, and these first moves have proven to be right so far through a handful of games in week one.
Yeah, and a lot of it is related to the quarterback, right? I mean, you know, you see the movement as it reacts to it because of, you know, this quarterback starting. You know, we saw the line open up in Tennessee. Chicago was a pick'em, and now it's 3.5 Chicago. So I think a lot of this is the line movement. And also, you know, one thing is, too, is the information. I mean, the Jets went from being almost a 2.5-point favorite to now they're 3.5-point dog, because we know what Frank Wright said. Frank Wright said, hey, my guys need to play. You know, Sean Payton said his guys need to play. Now, they didn't play well. It didn't really manifest itself. That line moved. Remember, that line moved from 2.5 to 5.
Just a close 6.
But, you know, they were – they won, but you're counting on them playing well, which they didn't.
Yeah. And also, too, like, that's something that I like to play on. And one of the reasons why I did play the Cardinals plus 6 kind of going against that move was that we see it often, like, these first-year head coaches, they try to go out there and win these games to establish that winning culture there. And you can see the Cardinals, they were excited when David Blough led that touchdown drive at the end of the game. Even your guy, the mayor, was out there high-fiving people and everything. Like, there was excitement because they just wanted to get some sort of positive, good feeling to go with all that's been going on in training camp.
Yeah, they played hard.
They did.
I mean, I watched the first quarter of that game this morning, and they were playing hard. They were playing as well as they could play. Like, they didn't hold back. And I think that's really an important part to understand, because they're trying to develop a culture. Now, does that, you know, last year the Chicago Bears were 3-0 in the preseason. So, you know, I think you got to be careful here when you're looking at that, because, you know, you play hard, which is great, and you want your players to instill the kind of the standard of performance that you need to get from them. But I also think that you got to take it with a grain of salt, because, you know, it's not going to carry over into the regular season. It did for Chicago. They won the opener. They beat San Francisco after going 3-0. But I just think you got to understand they're playing a different game than some of their opponents.
Yeah. I mean, Gannon was sending some pressures, man. I was like, Eagles fans were clamoring for this. Where did these blitz packages come from?
Yeah, I mean, it was
from?
Weird, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize the defense, you know?
I didn't see this guy in Philadelphia. But, hey, I guess he just relied on that defensive line that they had, and they don't really have those guys.
Yeah, you get
in
60 out of 70 sacks from your defensive lineman. Maybe you don't have to call blitzes, right?
I was like, man, this guy just sent 7 at Russell Wilson. Goddamn. But that was fun to see last night, the Cardinals winning that game outright 18-17. All right, let's get to the games that we have coming up today. We have 3 more that we got to break through. With 6 minutes left to go here, Michael, starting in Big D, Jerry World, the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dallas right now 4-point home underdogs. The total is at 38. I played the under. I like under 38, and I'm glad that Brian Broaddus was kind of his analysis about the Cowboys so far in camp sort of coincides with that. Offensive line has been struggling. Hard to move the ball. The O-line is struggling there. I don't think we're going to see Lawrence pass the first quarter. He will play, though, in this game. Lawrence, C.J. Beathard, Nathan Rourke will be the quarterbacks for the Jaguars. For Dallas, it'll be Cooper Rush and Will Greer.
I mean, last year, Jacksonville led the NFL in preseason in terms of yards gained offensively through the air. So they're going to work on their passing game, which could lend itself to scoring. The Cowboys, with this offensive line, going against a Jacksonville defensive line that I think has to prove itself. Travion Walker, the first overall pick in the draft, he's got to play at a higher level. I think that could put some doubt into how well the Cowboys will play, especially if they're not going to play any of their starting receivers. It's one thing to play a backup line and not be very good, but if your receivers can't get open, it really makes it harder on the quarterback. And I don't know if Jacksonville will give them enough rope to get open in this game. So I definitely could see why this line has swung towards Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm excited to see, though, Mazi Smith, the first-round pick for the Dallas Cowboys. That defensive tackle, they need a guy that can stop the run because that was their Achilles heel on defense last
year. Well, that's at 5 o'clock, so, well, you'll be watching the Jet game at 4. You'll have the, yeah, you'll be able to see both those. Yeah, that'll be no problem for
you. I have other plans that I don't think I can watch these preseason games, so I might be watching them on demand like you. They're have to go ahead and review the tape. You know, life gets in the way sometimes. But I digress.
Impossible. Yeah, you know? I mean, impossible.
I know.
Well, can't work. You, as Al Davis said, you can't work in the NFL. You got to live in it.
You know
just
what?
Can't just, oh, I'm going to show up 9 to 5 here. I mean, you got to live in it.
I got to pick my battles because come regular season, there's no compromising. So I got to compromise in the preseason.
Okay. All right.
You know, we're trying to make it to tomorrow, Michael. The Eagles and
the
Ravens.
I got it. I understand.
If you're picking up what I'm putting down, the Ravens are 5-point favorites. Of course, everybody knows the Baltimore Ravens covering machines. John Harbaugh, I believe, is like 76 or 80% against the spread in the preseason. Remarkable what they do this time of the year. The total is at 36. I haven't seen anything on Lamar Jackson. My guess is that he's probably not going to play. But Huntley's a Pro Bowler, though, so they at least can have some pretty good depth there.
Yeah. I mean, look, the one thing we know about the Ravens, for all the conversation about John Harbaugh and wanting to win, the execution of the team is really good in the preseason because they practice hard. I mean, John Harbaugh's from the Andy Reid school of preseason. He's gonna test his team physically and mentally. And Philly kind of does their thing, and it works for Philly, right? They have their hard days, soft days, and they get themselves ready. If Hurt doesn't play, we'll see Mariota and see how he does. Can he stay healthy? You know, I think the line movement makes sense because Baltimore's execution as the game goes on. Look, Baltimore's got a lot of young offensive linemen they've got to develop and see. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to watch Carter and Jordan Davis, the Georgia alum, to see how they handle the game.
Yeah, no, Carter, the stuff at our training camp has been awesome for Jalen Carter, so we'll see that live in all the action coming up later on this evening there. Once again, the quarterback depth charts for the Eagles will be Mariota, Ian Book, and Tanner McKee, and for the Ravens, Tyler Huntley, Josh Johnson, and Anthony Brown, all guys who have.
I mean, Josh Johnson, how many in the preseason Hall of Fame?
Honestly,
he's played in so many games.
Honestly, like, I give him a gold jacket for August because, I mean, he's been on like what 15 teams or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
the guy will go out there, he'll know who to throw the ball to. There's no question. 100%. You're not going to confuse him in the preseason.
And we saw Anthony Brown. I believe he started the Week 18 game last
played
year.
Well,
Cincinnati.
Last year in the preseason. Yeah.
So he has experience as well. The last game tonight. On the West Coast, the Battle of Los Angeles, Chargers and the Rams. Rams right now 3-point favorites, total 33. We'll get to see Stetson Bennett for the Los Angeles Rams and Brett Rippon and Dresser Wynn, who I'm not familiar with, on the Rams QB depth chart. And then for the Chargers, it'll be Easton Stick and then Max Duggan, who led TCU to the college football national title last season.
Well, I think a lot of this is a shift in the Rams' mentality of preseason. It would have been this game probably would have been the Chargers' favorite, right? But because Sean McVay said, "Look, I got to approach. I got such a young team. I got to get these guys ready. They need reps, and I can't worry about depth on my team any longer because I have no depth. These guys are my depth, so I got to play them and I got to get them ready." I think that's what you're going to see, and there's a sense that the Rams need this. The Rams need to get their confidence back, and I think they're going to use this game to do that. You know, the Chargers. Again, new offense, Kellen Moore, we'll see him throw it all over. But my question is, how good are they going to be defensively? You know, last year they struggled to stop the run. Can they stop the run this year in the preseason? What's that look like? It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I really like that from McVay. And it just goes to show you that he is assessing the situation, because one thing that in life, I feel like people get into these hard, fast rules, like never play your guys in the preseason. No, like when you have a veteran team like you used to have, okay, we can give them times off. But when it's a young team, all right, I need to see you guys play. So there's no like, maybe not going to see Cooper Kupp and Stafford, but the rest of you guys, we'll see you guys out there on the field. I like
or
that.
Or Haverstein.
Yeah.
You know, you won't see Haverstein. You won't see the guys that he knows he can't afford to lose, you know. But we're going to see. But defensively, no Aaron Donald, but everybody else is probably fair game.
100%. That does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. We will see you guys tomorrow as we react to all six games from tonight. For Michael Lombardi, for our producer Elliot Bowman, for everybody behind the glass, I'm Femi Bebefe, saying good luck with all the bets coming up today. The Handle, Matt Brown, Mike Somich, coming up next.